Good to see you guys. For those of you who are online, welcome. We thank you all for taking your time to be with us so that we can fellowship and worship the Lord together. How great was worship? Amen. I love when we have a time of worship where we're just lifting up the goodness of God, and I love it. I love it. So we're continuing forth on summer shorts this week, and I just wanted to share something. One thing that happened to me this week was a friend tried to encourage me with the word of God, and it was in this verse, and it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he with those from them that walk uprightly." And when he shared this verse with me, instead of feeling encouraged, I really felt convicted. I felt in that moment I was dealing with a certain struggle and dealing with a certain guilt. So when I read that, "No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly." If the criteria for receiving a good thing was to walk uprightly, was to walk blamelessly, then I was disqualified. Because in that moment in time, I was just looking at where I was feeling and what I was going through. And so he's trying to encourage me with this amazing verse, this word of God, and I'm here feeling guilty. Same time, I receive a similar verse within that week. And it's Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Amen, yes, hallelujah. And when I read that verse, instead of feeling condemned the way I did in the first moment where I was just looking at my shame and dealing with my guilt, I was encouraged. And when I read this verse, I was encouraged, and every time it was random. Like, I kept seeing the clock, and it was 8:28, or something at the store came out to 8:28, and it was just continue repetition of being reminded that he is going to work all things for good. Even my shame, even my insecurities, even my mess ups, he is going to work everything for good, so that though I was struggling, though I was dealing with things, though I would fail God, I knew I still loved him. And I knew that I was still called according to his purpose, not because I am perfect, not because I am righteous, not because I am blameless, because he is perfect. He is righteous. He was the blameless one, and we will go more into it. But in this moment, these two verses, very similar, but two different responses. Why? Because in one of them, I was just so focused on me and my problem. And in the other one, I was remembering who God is and what God does. And I need us all to remember in this verse, I'm not going to go in more into it, but God is going to work all things for good. Doesn't matter how it feels, doesn't matter how it sounds, doesn't matter how it looks. We sing that song, Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, he is working. And when he is working all things for good. For you who are called according to his purpose. Lord, right now we take this moment to just take time for you, to focus on you. To focus on your word and remembering that you are good. And right now, we want to take a moment to declare that goodness. We want to dive deeper into your word and knowing who you are to us and make these declarations of who you are and learn what you say about us. God, we take this time to just focus, remove all distractions. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. One of the greatest things that God worked for good that looked terrible, the most gruesome, horrific moment in time, would be on that cross of Calvary. And he worked that to the good of each and every one of us, because though it was the most gruesome, horrific moment in time, it was the most precious, glorious, powerful, redemptive moment in time at the same time. Why? Because he works all things for good. Pastor Rob spoke last week on the gift of grace, and he did a great job at speaking about salvation and what Jesus did. And on that cross, Jesus became our Lord and our Savior. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God." each and every one of us have been offered the gift of salvation. But as we know, a gift can be offered, but a gift must be received. How do we receive this precious gift? You know, sometimes we feel like we're not worthy of it, that we need to fix ourselves in order for us to receive it. But that's the whole point of Jesus giving this gift through grace, as Pastor Rob mentioned last week. It is something undeserved. It's undeserved favor from the Lord. It's something that we could not earn. And if there was any chance we could try to earn it, I'm sure we would grow weary each and every day trying to find right standing with God. And God saw that. God saw that. This is what happened in the Old Testament, where they would do sacrifices and try to atone, but God made a way so that we, through faith, can believe in Jesus and what Jesus did. It is the gift of salvation, and we will never have the gift of salvation. We will never have a Savior until we acknowledge that we need saving. When will we cry out for a Savior? Until we acknowledge our need for Him, that I cannot do this for myself. No, this is a gift from God that He gives unto each and every one of us. But we must receive it. We must receive that gift. And how do we receive it? The Word of God says, I'm going to focus on that which is in yellow. In Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That plain, that simple. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. And I love this last verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do we receive this precious gift that Pastor Rob mentioned last week? By confessing it. By saying, you know, we sing these songs. You're never gonna let me down. We sing these songs. You are good. We say, and there's nothing better than you. We sing these songs about God. We say, oh, you are Lord. But how many of us have confessed that you are Lord over my life? There's a difference. We can say a lot of things about God, but how many of us have confessed it for ourselves that He is the Lord of my life, that He is the Lord of my mind, that He is the Lord of my soul? This is what we are being asked to do. This is a moment in time that we need to acknowledge whether or not we have done that. When we are confessing that Jesus is Lord, we are saying that you are the one who is now in control. We are confessing that He is the Savior, and I cannot do this for myself. Even if I tried, I will probably fail. No, there is only one mediator. There is only one Savior. There is only one. There's just Jesus and nothing else. That what Jesus did was enough. That when we are confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, we are saying that what Jesus did on the cross was for me, and that is my salvation, and that is what we need to confess to be saved. Amen. And all you have to do, as I said, is call upon the name of the Lord, your Lord. And what happens when we are saying that, we are declaring it? It is enough. While Jesus was on the cross, He said this. Listen, I speak Spanish. I speak English. I do not speak Greek. I'm probably going to say it wrong. Tetelestai. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, Tetelestai. What does that mean? He said, it is finished. What is finished? My shame is finished. My guilt is finished. The separation between me and God is finished. The enemies cowering over me is finished. Jesus said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? This is finished. When Jesus said it is finished, no longer do we need to strive and try to do things for ourselves. That's finished. The price was paid in full. How? Pastor Rob mentioned it last week. The wages of sin is death. The price for our sin was death. But did you die for it? No. Jesus did. Jesus on that cross, when He said, Tetelestai, He said, it's paid in full. I am here. I am perfect. I am sinless. But I became sin who knew no sin, so that we, each and every one of us, can become the righteousness of God. If we call upon the name of the Lord. He paid the price. The victory is won. While Jesus was doing that, something amazing happened. Something celestial and divine happened. Something that changed our lives. And it was this great exchange where he took our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness. The moment where he took our shame and placed onto us his purity. The moment that he took our guiltiness and put unto us his holiness, this great exchange where our unrighteousness was placed upon him, and now we become the righteousness of God. You want to know who you are? You are the righteousness of God. You are not the person filled with shame. You are not the person filled with guilt. You are not your past. When you have called upon the name of the Lord, you have become the righteousness of God. This is what happens. And one thing I love as I was reading this and looking at this, many times we feel that Jesus erased our sin. No, he endured the punishment for it. It's better than that. It's better than being erased. It's not that he's like, okay, there's nothing more to look at. He's like, no, I see it, and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to cover it with my righteousness, with my holiness, with my goodness, and I'm going to satisfy God the Father. And you know what? Now you will be righteous. You will now be covered in my holiness. Now you will be covered in my blood. When God, I think about it like when God the Father, if I'm trying to stand before God, that there is Jesus standing in between. And he said, you know, you can't do nothing to her because I paid for that. I took care of that. No. Look at my righteousness. It's on her now. Look at my holiness. It's on her. When I think about the great things that Jesus has done, that is what happens in this moment. That is what happens in this moment when we make this claim that Jesus is Lord and Savior. There is a portion in the scripture in Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they, like multitudes, say, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to think about this moment. Jesus is with his disciples, people he has walked with, people who he has been doing life with, people who known him, who have seen miracles and wonder, who know his character, who have been amongst him doing all of these things for years. And he's saying, who do people say I am? And they're quick with it. They're just like, some say a prophet, some say John the Baptist, some say, they're quick with it. But in this moment, he changes it up. And he says, but who do you say I am? I don't care what everybody else says. Who do you say I am, that you've walked with me, that you've seen me cry, that you've seen me pray, that you've walked with me in the darkest places and in holy, great moments of miracles and wonders? Who do you say I am? And silence. But then there was one. There was one that was bold enough. If y'all know Peter, he was from North Philly, I think, because he was a little, he was a little bold. He was a little impulsive. And if y'all know Peter, listen, he was cutting people's ears off. Yeah, he's special. But who's special here? We're all a little special up in here, you know. And Peter, bold, impulsive, special Peter, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where everybody else may have been a little bit more put together, Peter was the one that was bold and was able to see that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say I am? Peter is walking with Jesus and he's making this claim now, and he is living, you know, doing life with Jesus. And Jesus, while he's walking with these people, he's revealing unto them who he is. He is revealing unto them his character. Why? Because Jesus knows soon he will be going off to heaven, and he was going to be leaving this gospel truth. He was going to be leaving these people to lead others to having faith in him. And now he is telling Peter, yes, that's who I am. You know, in this next portion it says, he said to them, But who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Peter is declaring that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? You are the anointed one. You are the one that has been promised from the beginning, from time. You are the one that has come to save me. You are the only one. You are the only one that we will need, that will bring redemption for us, that will be our king. When Peter is claiming who Jesus is, that you are the Christ, he's saying, there's nothing better than you. There's no one else. I'm looking for you alone, our king. You alone, our God. And when Jesus hears Peter says this, he said, you are blessed. When you know this truth, for each and every one of you who know this truth, you are blessed. And God makes the claim, and we see here, he says, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal, but now I say to you, Peter. He shifts the name, and Peter now is a name that is stronger and bold. I told you that Peter was a little special, but that was just Simon. That was Simon. Simon was special. Peter now, he's giving him a more solidified name. Something he could build on. Jesus is saying this to this Peter who was still going to deny him three times. He's still saying this to the same Peter that was not going to be there on the cross right next to Jesus. This is the same Peter that would fail Jesus time and time again. But in that moment, Peter knew who Jesus was. And the moment that we know who Jesus was, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Even when we have more Simon moments than Peter moments, we're going to be okay. Why? Come on now, it's the truth. Why? Because our foundation is the next key. On this rock, I will build my church, not on us, but on the truth of who we know that God is. On this rock, because Peter, you know that I am the Christ, that I am the only way to salvation, that I am the one that you have awaited, that I am your only mediator, I am the only Savior, I am the Son of the living God. Because you know this, now I can build my church. Listen, we're adding a third service. The church is growing. We're building the church. And if we're going to continue to grow, this is what it needs to be founded on. That there is a Jesus, and he is the Christ, and he is the only one. And we are making this claim so that when people come and we are making disciples, as Brother Tommy was mentioning, we are making disciples of Christ who know Christ, who walk with Christ. And Jesus is saying, now that you know who I am, I can build my church. I'm going to go, but I need to continue to reveal who I am so that you can continue to grow, so that people can know. And that's why we here today are here today, because of that work. They were the first ones who built the first church, the primitive church. And Jesus says that unto him. And Jesus goes on to, as they're walking with him, Jesus, I love when I think about this, Jesus wasn't just was talking to Peter, but the disciples were still there. Those people who didn't have the boldness to say that, they were there, and they're hearing Jesus said, blessed are you. And this is where I'm going to build my church, on this truth, on who I am. God will continue to grow and be our foundation when we know who he is. And these people walked with Jesus, and Jesus just continues to say, and in the book of John, Jesus goes on to say seven times, I am. In one moment, he says, I am the bread of life, the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus is revealing, and each of those reveal a part of who he is. I am the bread of life. I am your sustainer. I am your nourishment. I am the light of the world. I am your guide. I am the one who will give you light in the darkness. I am the door of the sheep. And then this time, I'm going to share a picture with you momentarily. That meant something, you know, it was something deep that these people understood in that time. That means that Jesus was your protector and your provider from others and from yourself. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. even when you're a bad sheep. I am the good shepherd even when you deny me three times. Jesus had to reveal who he was so that these people could continue forward boldly, trying to move forward knowing that who they were, that's not what the church is founded on. The church is founded on who he is. He is the resurrection and the life. This is not the whole here and now. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who is going to guide us, to lead us. He is our truth. He is our very existence. I am the true vine. And it says that we are the branches and we cannot do anything without him. Jesus is revealing unto them who he is and revealing unto them their need for him. Jesus is the good shepherd, the gate of the sheep. I want to show you this picture. And it looks like a sheep pen, as I imagine. I don't know. But I'm going to call it a sheep pen. And instead of there being a normal door and a normal gate, no, there is a shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd couldn't trust the sheep to not grow. He couldn't trust a door, a gate, to be enough to protect his sheep. No, he had to stand in the middle to protect it from, I don't know, lions, tigers, and bears. I don't know. He had to be there in the middle to protect them. But he also had to be there in the middle because sheep are wayward. They stray. They don't even know better for themselves. He had to stand there to protect his sheep so that when he's telling Peter, you are Peter. And Peter's, and he's saying that knowing fully well what Peter was going to do, that Peter would know he is still that good shepherd. He is still the one at the gate protecting me, but also the one providing for me. The one that protects me from me and my wayward ways. Protecting me from going astray. Protecting me from all of those who are trying to endanger me and attack me. No, before they get to me, they have to go through my shepherd. And I hope we are confident in that we are in that little pen and that Jesus is standing in the gap for us, that before anything can get to him, to us, they need to go through him. And guess what? They can't go through him. They can't go through him. And if you feel like you are struggling, like we read in the beginning, all things are going to work for good. God, if God allowed it, he's working something. I need us to be confident in that. Jesus is in this moment trying to reveal unto him as he's living and walking with them who he is. And he asks them, who do you say I am? And now I ask you who have walked with him, who have been with him, who have known him, who do you say I am? I'm not saying who does your grandma say I am because she made you come to church. I'm not saying who does your mom or your girlfriend or boyfriend because you're here because you wanted to accompany them. No, I'm asking you, who has God been to you? Who do you say I am? As we read in the beginning in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, have we done that? Or are we just singing about him? Are we just saying these things about him, but have we professed it and are we living it? Who do you say I am? Who do you know God to be? Do we know him to be faithful? Have we said, Lord, you are the Lord and Savior of my life. You are the Lord and Savior of my household. You are the Lord and Savior of my mind. Jesus, who do you say I am? God, you are my good shepherd. You are my way. You are my truth. You are my life. You are my heavenly Father. You are the one who takes care of me. Who do you say God is? Who have you known him to be? Who do you know Jesus to be? Who has he revealed? You have walked with him. We have come to church many times, but have we made this confession?